Welcome in to Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Our guest tonight is NBC Sports hockey writer Sean Leahy joining us tonight. We take you up to pregame of tonight's Preds-Canucks game, all tonight on Slapshot Radio, brought to you by Day One sponsor Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Carter Church from Weichart Realtors, the Andrews Group, your real estate expert in Murfreesboro and Nolensville, and the latest addition to our Slapshot Radio family of advertisers, the largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee. It's Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. And our good friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries with three locally owned and operated locations in Middle Tennessee. I'm Paul McCann, our co-host, former NHL coach and player Brent Peterson. Coach, how are you this evening?
Doing great.
I'm a little tired of the rain. I'm tired of the rain. I'm done with it.
Yeah, I've been a little bit upset. Me too. It takes me off the golf course all the time.
I was going to say, but it is.
You can't even get near it.
You can't even get nine in this, that's for sure. And, of course, the host of the Preds Watch Parties, Zach McCann. Zach?
You know, I'm going to start a GoFundMe to get Brent one of those golden tea machines put in his house. Oh, so that way, you know, weather be darned, he can just, you know, pop it right on there, you know?
I'm a golfer on a golf course. I can't play those games very well.
Well, with that attitude, all right?
That's right.
Well, boys, you know what? This time last week, we were starting the show and looking at a team that we were kind of going, what's going on? Now, you're looking at a team that is on the pace that we keep talking about. Four out of every six points. They've done it for six games. Tonight is the end of the third one that we started this. First one was the Buffalo game before All-Star break. 2 points tonight, and you're continuing that 4 points out of six pace. Zach, they don't ask you how you did it. They just ask you if you did it. And so far, they're sticking to that 4 out of 6.
You know, the Predators have been playing some good hockey lately. And you
Hold on. Let me check something. I got to call down to hell. Hello, Satan. What's the temperature down there?
Hey, you know what? I have times where I'm critical of this team, and it's deservedly so. And I'm absolutely going to praise them when they deserve it. And this team has been playing with some testicular fortitude, if you will, lately on the ice. The thing that really impresses me about this team lately is that game against the Flames. I think that was the best 60-minute effort that we saw out of this team all year. The way that they were dominant in that third period, not allowing a shot from Calgary until 12 minutes into that period, that was just some shutdown hockey that was being played, and you can't help but be, you know, pretty happy with what's developed for this team over the past week.
You know, Coach, when you look at this team, it's been interesting because the difference that I feel after, you know, we've been on after a loss the last couple of weeks.
Right.
And the last two losses we've been on after have been disheartening. They've been ones that you look at and go, what the heck? That's not the case with the loss on Saturday night. I think, a bounce goes off of a player's skate and in. A bounce goes the wrong way. An official, you know, apparently, you know, I checked his phone. He did miss several calls. You know, when you look at that, I mean, it was hard to fault the effort and hard to fault the performance on Saturday night, which was much, much different than the last two losses.
Yeah, I thought they played very well. Like you said, I thought they played good offensively and defensively. And Mike Smith, he always gives us a problem, doesn't he?
Always.
He made some great saves. We had some great chances. Yossi hit the post in the third period, and we had some great chances, but we are playing much better as a team. John's given confidence to guys like Turris, and Grimaldi gets to play. And
it's Granlund?
Really,
Granlund's playing like a man possessed
and
right
so
now.
He's given them the confidence they have. It's amazing how coaches can build you up or you can get torn down. He's letting other players sit out, and he's playing them more and more. He's playing the right guys on the right nights, and he's making a change tonight, too. I hope it's the right thing because that fourth line of ours has been playing great. He's changing the fourth line tonight. We'll see what happens. But it's just a better feeling around the team. They have more confidence. They're not squeezing their sticks as hard. And they're just doing a better job in all around. The penalty killing has been great.
Not only that, you can't say enough good things about the play of Juuse Saros lately.
Juuse was good.
He's been excellent, you know, huge saves at great times, yeah. You know, a few goals that were questionable, you know, in the beginning of the game.
But they found a way to win it.
Exactly. You know, between the Jets game and the Calgary game, you know, that he settled down nicely and really has been playing great hockey. The one who's been heating up for me lately, Ryan Johansson, came out like he was shot out of a cannon on Saturday night. He was the most speed I've seen him play with all year. He was using his physicality to an effective means. And that Johansson-Duchesne-Granlund line is really poised to become something, you know, pretty deadly if Duchesne and Johansson can start finding the net.
The interesting piece about that, and I agree with you, the one thing that I have noticed is a couple of the players that you need more out of. And we talked about this beforehand. You need more out of Ryan Johansson. You need more out of Matt Duchesne. And what I'm seeing out of them now is a little bit more emotion, a little bit more just some fire in the game that I don't know we saw.
Second effort.
Absolutely. You're seeing it is that I'm going to go in and I'm going to finish my check.
Yeah.
I'm going to go in and I'm going to try and use my size, to your point, Zach. I mean, these are two players that have boatloads of capability, and you look at and say, wow, I want more. And I think we're starting to get that out of the two of them. I mean, you see them both kind of dialing it in a little bit.
They're coming along. I still think we need a lot more out of RV.
Oh, yeah.
And we need more out of Forsberg. And then everybody else is starting to come now. Like you said, Joey's starting to come. He looked like a really good, and he wears down, but he doesn't play as much anymore. He doesn't play the 20 minutes he used to play power play, penalty killing, and even strength, and now he's just playing on the power play, and he's not killing penalties as much unless one of the penalty killers gets a penalty.
And it's something to your credit, Coach, because you always used to opine about Arvidsson and Johansson on the penalty kill and how hard those minutes are. And I think it's noticeable those players are starting to play a little harder and get a little more hard-nosed that they've been taken off of the penalty kill. And honestly, Granlund and Turris have been great on the PK. Yeah. Saturday accepted, but everyone's getting scored on by the Oilers on the power play right now.
Well, and you know, I do want to talk a little bit about that because I'm going to give criticism and credit at the same time on this because I think that Saturday night's game was one of the more creatively officiated games we've seen.
I'll say it was awful.
There was
two different rule books out there,
and I can't help but wonder if the referee that we're talking about wasn't really successfully worked by Connor McDavid, because McDavid was chirping at Justin St. Pierre throughout the entire first period. And after the second penalty that McDavid deservedly took, he complained so much. I was going to use the W word. I'll leave that alone. He complained so much, and I'll give him credit. He got the calls that, quite frankly, I mean, I look at the penalty shot call. I mean, it's the exact same play.
I think it was Tenorti coming back on him, and he just tapped him on the hand.
But 5 minutes early.
That's not a penalty shot though. When you just tap it,
it's a slash. It's 2 minutes.
He should have got 2 minutes instead of a penalty shot, and then we ended up.
But you know, 5 minutes earlier, the exact same thing happened, only it was McDavid doing it, and it didn't get called. That's what drove me nuts.
Superstars get a little bit of leeway, and things happen.
That is true. The Jordan rules are absolutely
that was frustrating, but for me, the pinnacle example was Granlund being called for embellishment, which is frankly a pretty subjective call anyway. And then Leon Draisaitl, who, I mean, sure, I'm looking at this through gold-colored glasses a bit, went down like there was a sniper at the top of Rogers' place later on and did not get called.
It's a hard, I know those are hard calls to make, and we could continue.
Don't make them.
Yeah.
Easy enough. If it's borderline, don't make it.
How dare you simplify it like that? My gosh. So anyway, well, we're just off to a great start here right now. I have a funny feeling this is going to be an interesting one. Stay tuned because we're right in the middle. The Hockey Block, including pregame tonight, starting at 8 o'clock with DMACC himself, Darren McFarland, going to be in. So make sure you keep it locked right here. All your Predators coverage on ESPN 102.5 The Game. They have been with us since day one of the show, are the premier sponsor of Slapshot Radio. Doctors Aileen Kruger and Jane Bacon over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. boy, what a great staff, a comfortable environment, making it a lot easier to get all your dental needs taken care of. And if that wasn't enough, all the latest in in-office dental technology, including whitening, sedation dentistry. I mean, it's all there at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Check out their website at WeBrightonSmiles.com or call them for an appointment at 872-7762. That's 615-872-7762. Dr. Aileen Kruger and Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We Brighten Smiles. Slapshot Radio, Max. Digging out the Flashdance soundtrack? Really? I'm disappointed, my friend. I'm disappointed in this. Max on the Wheels of Steel, don't add us, add him, because this is not happening. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game, with better music coming up in the next segment, I hope. Paul McCann, Brett Peterson, Zach McCann with you. And, man, I tell you what, I've been wanting to have this guy on the show for quite a long time. And Zach, I know you met up with him in Dallas. Why don't you introduce our next guest?
Absolutely. Happy to welcome to Slapshot Radio, Mr. Sean Leahy of NBC Sports, formerly of Puck Daddy. Matt had the pleasure of hanging out with him on New Year's Eve with both Greg and Sean at Brain Dead Brewery for Predneck Nation's takeover down there. Had a great, fantastic time down there at the Winter Classic. So, Sean, welcome to Slapshot Radio.
Hey, Zach. Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you on, Sean. You know, it's interesting. We're sitting here talking hockey and watching the New York Islanders dismantle the Washington Capitals right now. You're based in Long Island. What's the story with our with Barry Trotz and the Islanders? They're coming to Bridgestone Arena on Thursday, but this team looks like they've got their collective poop in one scoop right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, Barry Trotz, you know, he obviously sung Obie's praises as his former coach this morning, but obviously added the part where he hoped he didn't get his two goals tonight and celebrate. He hoped he did them on another night against a different team, and certainly the Islanders are playing that way. And, you know, they've been kind of up and down the last few weeks, and they're once what looked like to be a lock of in the top three in the Metro has kind of slid with the rise of the Penguins and the Blue Jackets. Now the Islanders are down to one of the wild card spots, and obviously they got some teams nipping at their heels behind them. But this is a team, as we know, since under Barry Trotz, good defensively, strong goaltending. The only issue has been, you know, getting a timely goal. You know, they're one of the lowest scoring teams in the league. They play well as a complete unit, which obviously we saw last year how well that worked for them, getting into the playoffs and 100 points. But this year, the way things are going, get the deadline 2 weeks from today, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if Lou Lamoriello adds at least one offensive-minded piece, maybe two, if they can get the right deal. Because to get through the Eastern Conference with the way Boston's playing, obviously Tampa's rebounded. You got the Capitals on nights outside of tonight. The Penguins, Columbus, you know, it's a very difficult conference, and you know defense can get you so far, as we saw last year. You know how far it got down, but certainly in the postseason, you need a Tommy goal. You need a a couple of guys to kind of rely on for goals there. And they didn't get that last year against the Hurricanes, and certainly this year, if they're going to have hopes of making a deep run, they're certainly going to need that again.
You know, Sean, it's said so often that it's borderline cliche in NHL, but parity has never been higher in this league. I think you can look at the standings right now and say there are maybe five teams that are out of it. And during this stretch run, who's your dark horse to maybe sneak in and make some noise in the playoffs this year?
You know, I'm not trying to sound to pump your guys' tires because I'm on a national radio show, but I think the Predators, really. I mean, I don't know why. I just have so much confidence in this team. I was very high in them before the season, really the last couple of seasons. I think I picked them to reach the cup final maybe a couple times in the last few years, but I've always liked this team, the way they've been built, very well balanced, obviously strong goaltending. This year is, you know, it hasn't been that so far, but they've kind of, you know, things have kind of turned things around a little bit under John Hines. But, you know, when you dig yourself that deep of a hole, as they did through most of the first half of the season, the problem is you can play well in the second half, but that means you're chasing teams and you have to make up ground, which is obviously difficult. And, you know, what's helping them is teams like Arizona, Calgary, who are struggling, but then you have Minnesota's been playing well. Winnipeg's been, you know, been playing better. And then trying to make up ground in that central division is always tough. And so it's almost like you're fighting for one of the two wild card spots, which is always going to be difficult. But, You know, as you guys know, David Poyle's been trying to make a bold move, and you look at this team. He already made that one bold move in firing Pierre Laviolette, and if he sees this team, you know, has a chance to get into the postseason, and you know they're right there, only a few points out, and they got some games in hand, which is always important. As long as you win them, I could certainly see him pulling the trigger on a deal to maybe shake things up or just kind of bolster the roster as is.
Slapshot Radio with Sean Leahy from NBCSports.com. Brent.
Hey, Cole, Sean, I just wanted to ask you, how long does David Poyle wait till? How long can he wait till he's either going to be a buyer, a seller, or blows it up, or just does nothing? What do you think it would be best for him to do?
I think, you know, considering where they are, right, they're only, what, 3 points out of a wild card spot. And like I said, they have a couple of games in hand on Calgary, Winnipeg, and Arizona ahead of them. I think you assess over these next 2 weeks. Obviously, he's a GM. They work the phones. They kind of get a gauge on what guys would cost and what the price would be now compared to, you know, 2 weeks from now when the deadline's over. But I think it's way too early for him to just blow it up and look towards next season, just where they are. Because this team, to me, I think they're too talented when things are firing all cylinders to not – to give up on the season at this point. You know, I think there's a lot of guys having down years. Obviously, the goaltending wasn't where we all thought it would be for the first half of the year, and it's kind of turned around a little bit since New Year's Day. Obviously, getting Ryan Ellis back at some point would be huge, just not for the blue line, but for the team in general. So I think if I'm David Poyle, you know, I hold out until the deadline. You know, if the right price for a guy comes along the next week, certainly I pull the trigger. But I don't think now is the time for him to be, you know, throwing in the towel and looking towards next season, considering, you know, how close they are to a spot and just, you know, how talented that roster is up and down the lineup.
Well, interesting, because if you happen to be looking at Twitter right now, Uncle Bob has the first shot fired, I think, in the trade deadline. Minnesota trades Jason Zucker to Pittsburgh for Galchenyuk, a 2020 first round pick, and prospect Kalen Addison. Interesting trade, Zach.
Huh. I mean,
Zucker finally gone from Minnesota. Our long national nightmare is over, Sean.
He's going to light it up in Pittsburgh.
Jason Zucker is going to be a good ad for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, I agree. And Jason Zucker has been a guy who's been on Jim Rutherford's radar for quite some time. You've heard the rumors for a few months now, and certainly he's been looking for a replacement for Jake Gounsell, who's out probably until the playoffs with that shoulder injury. And Zucker is a guy, a good winger. Can score you some goals, and Galchenyuk is a guy who is just, I don't know. He had a good start to his career in Montreal, then kind of struggled a little bit in Arizona, and now here we are. He's on his third team in less than a year now, and maybe Minnesota will be a place for him to kind of, you know, be a reclamation project, almost like Kevin Fiala is going on right now.
Yep.
But I think this is a great deal for the Penguins. This is a deal they needed to make. And like David Poyle, Jim Rutherford's a guy who isn't shy to make a bold move, and also a guy who likes to get his business done early. Typically, in the past, he's done a lot of his big moves in January, but certainly right now with that price, I think it's certainly worth the gamble for him and to try and, you know, strengthen his team of a Penguins team that the way they've been playing despite all the injuries can certainly take a shot at a run in Eastern Conference this spring.
An interesting haul though for Jason Zucker. I mean, you know, I could have almost seen a prospect and a 2020 first, but throwing Galchenyuk in there, obviously, you know, probably for cap reasons, but an interesting haul for Jason Zucker, especially considering how long, honestly, it seems like Minnesota's been trying to move him.
Yeah, and, you know, Galchenyuk is going to be a UFA this summer as well, and this is basically his showcase, right? This is him he's got a couple months to show that what he can do, and that way he can cash in free agency or impress his new bosses in Minnesota and, you know, get a nice extension, whereas Zucker has got some terms still left under his deal, which is good for the Penguins. You know, if he works out there, it's certainly going to be, to me, I think it's a steal just the way Galchenyuk's career has gone so far. So I think if I'm going for a winner in this deal, I'm going for the Penguins just because they strengthen what they already have right now. And obviously we'll see what happens with Minnesota with Galchenyuk and as well as that prospect Kalen Addison and that first round pick, because if you're the Penguins, that their first round pick, you're hoping is late first rounder. So, with Zucker getting term, I think that's a great move to kind of replace Jake Guentzel for the meantime. And when he gets back healthy, that's a pretty strong lineup right there.
No doubt. Certainly interesting times going on in Minnesota. And you mentioned someone earlier, Kevin Fiala seems to have just, if you look for a burning ember somewhere in the state of hockey, you might see Kevin Fiala right now. What do you think it is about his game that's translating so well and he seems to finally be putting it together for the Wild?
Well, look, we saw what he did in Nashville, right? He's a guy who can give you some secondary scoring, put the puck in net. He's a good skater, good shooter. And he certainly has a lot to prove in Minnesota, right? Everyone kind of gave up on him towards the end. He had that horrible leg injury and maybe took a little longer than people expected to come back from. And he's a guy who's got another year left on his deal with an RFA, so he's obviously looking at that, wants to impress over this next year and a half and cash in. And certainly he's still 23. So if you're the Wild, if you're Bill Guerin, you see him playing like he is right now, you're thinking that's a piece that we can build around going forward. And maybe Galchenyuk is an addition to that if he can turn things around. So there's plenty of young, strong young talent there on the Wild roster. And certainly, they've been a middling team for the last several years. Obviously, they got those cap issues with the Suter and Parise contracts not going anywhere anytime soon. But certainly there's plenty of young talent coming through there that they can build around and potentially become a playoff team or threaten to be a playoff team like they have been so far this season.
You can read him on NBCSports.com. He is Sean Leahy. Sean, we really appreciate you coming on the show, even though we realized it was outside of a couple cocktails at a bar, and we appreciate you, paying off on the bar bet there. So, I'm sorry that you lost that one.
No problem. Next time I'll have to do it over cocktails for sure.
Now we're talking.
Sean Leahy from NBCSports.com joining us on Slapshot Radio, and we will be right back right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, yeah. I think producer Max is sending a little message right there. I like it. I like it. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Boy, you know what? I love it. I love it. Zach, you said it during the break. I love it when news breaks during our show. The first significant trade of the trade deadline season. Trade deadline is 2 weeks from today. Interesting. Pierre LeBrun just added some interesting color to this trade. If you weren't listening a little bit earlier, it looks like Minnesota has finally traded Jason Zucker to Pittsburgh for Galchenyuk, a 2020 first rounder and defensive prospect Kalen Addison. Apparently, Jim Rutherford tried to trade for Zucker in the Kessel deal last summer, and that's the one that Kessel said, no way, I'm not going to Minnesota. I'd much rather go to Arizona and play a lot of golf. I think, Coach, that would be a decision you would make if you were in that position.
No, I would never make a decision on about golf.
You would not, no, in other words, you'd go?
I'd go to Minnesota, probably.
Yeah, you would have?
I would if I had to.
Yeah, but you only golf like 2 months out of the year there, where
right.
You got 12 months out of the year in Arizona.
Yes, you do.
Anyway, so interesting thing. So, I wanted to bring this up anyway. We're running into pregame starting at 8 o'clock with Darren McFarland right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, the Predators and Canucks. So the Predators right now, 2 weeks ago when we started talking trade deadline, I don't know if any of us were really leaving the Predators for dead, but we weren't feeling very, very good about the prospects. I think we're feeling a little better about the prospects right now. 3 points out of that last wild card slot. Honestly, Calgary gets beat tonight. Nashville wins. They're 1 point back with a couple of games in hand over the Flames. Arizona has already dropped out. Winnipeg looks like they're trying to get their act together. But, it's interesting. It seems like the discussion is circling around the obvious choices, which are the two UFAs, Zach. I mean, you look at Craig Smith, you look at, and you look at Mikael Granlund, but both of them playing honestly inspired hockey right now.
Yeah, Granlund's been the best forward on this team for a while now. He's been looking excellent. Craig Smith just has that feeling of, it's going to break through for him at some point. He always goes through these. It is feast or famine with Craig Smith, and you know what you're going to get. He ain't hit 20 goals yet. I see no reason why he's going to stop that this year. I think look for him to have, come on like a house of fire. And not only that, Craig Smith is one of those guys who really, I think, embodies that old school, you know, Barry Trotz kind of back in your day, Brent Peterson, Predator way style of hockey. The guy never takes a shift off. He works his bag off, as they say in the locker room, you know, the entire time he's out there. And frankly, you know, he's the kind of player that you want. He doesn't complain when he's in the top six. When he's not in the top six, he just puts his head down and goes to work. That's the kind of player you want in your locker room. Frankly, if you look at this Nashville team right now, I wonder, and, you know, I had this thought when Sean was talking earlier in the last segment, was picking up John Hines David Poile's deadline move?
It could be, you know, David's got a tough job this year because he never envisioned him having to worry about these situations.
Of course, we
put the teams back together, back on the ice like it was last year, and we're gonna beat. We lost out to Dallas in six games up in Dallas, and then we're just gonna put everybody back and sign Duchesne and trade PK, and everything was gonna be fine, and it just didn't turn out that way. The goaltending wasn't as good, but it wasn't that. The defense were not that good, but they weren't bad. The forwards are playing really poorly, I think, other than Granlund, and they're still not. We're getting a lot more out of Johnny's getting a lot more out of, you know, Forsberg and those guys, Arvidsson and Johansson. Those guys need to play, be better, and they have been a little bit better. So it's looking like it's going in the right direction. We're only three out. And I think we're going to be three out for a while here, and then we finally catch up with games. I don't know when I haven't seen the schedule exactly when we catch up.
A lot of back to backs coming up.
Yeah, we got a lot of back to backs. That makes
tough
goaltending very, very key. Goaltending is key in a back to back because you got a fresh guy at least.
Well, and here's the other thing that you want to look at. I happen to agree with you, Zach. I think that maybe that was the deadline move. Again, this is one of those ones where you look at this team finally coming together a little bit, finally playing the kind of defensive hockey that they need to play, and now it's just time for that top six to really start producing, and you see them dialing it in. But I just wonder, well, what do the ads look like from the ads? I mean, if you look down, I mean, Ali Tolvanen's had six goals in his last nine games. I mean, he's been an absolute. He is absolutely heating up. You look at, you know, Daniel Carr is continuing to perform at a point per game plus pace. You also look at players like, you know, Cole Schneider's quietly having a nice year right now. I mean, there's some talent down there that could augment.
I think, you know, those are good black aces possibilities. Mm-hmm. The interesting question, I think, is if you are going to trade for someone, and I know it's easy to get visions of people like, you know, I certainly had it of like Andreas Athanasiou or Chris Kreider on this team. I think you leave the forward core alone. If you go for anyone, I think the list, you know, is three players long. Brendan Dillon out of San Jose.
Defense. Yeah.
Sammy Vatanen out of New Jersey.
Defense.
And the person I'm really interested in, Alec Martinez.
Oh,
out of Los Angeles.
That was not the name I was expecting out of you.
Yeah.
Those are three good players, and they're perfect for a role, fifth guy or fourth, fifth guy, and maybe six if you get a role.
I think a pairing of you know, Alec Martinez, and you know, you have him on your third pairing with either a Jared Tenorti or, you know, someone along those lines, or even if you put him on the second pair with Matthias Ekholm. I think it's certainly a tantalizing prospect. You bring a guy with a Stanley Cup winning pedigree, someone who's probably looking, you know, for a change of scenery, considering the situation in L.A. They're not going to bring him back, whether in this rebuild mode. That's certainly one that I think you maybe take interest in.
May be able to sneak that one in for a fourth rounder. Because, I mean, again,
take a little more than that, but
take a third, but
maybe a third. Mm-hmm. Okay. But the, you know, the Predators do have a good stock of draft
late picks
this year. The later picks that you're able, you know, and who knows, maybe it's even a third and a fifth or something like that. I never thought of Alec Martinez. I like that idea, but Zach and I know it may have been outside an adult beverage or two, but one of the things that we spoke about over the weekend is that the interest that there may be in Philadelphia that
there's a malcontent a brewing.
There is some issues, drama in Philly. Who could believe the terror? The name you keep hearing is Sean Gostisbehere.
Yeah, if you can get Shane Gostisbehere out of Philly, then that's number one, no doubt. especially with him being signed at $4.5 million over the next 3 years. Because if you could imagine, you know, Dante Fabra moving down to the third pairing, and you have a, you know, Roman Josi, Shane Gostisbehere pair together, you put Ellison Ekholm back together, look out.
That terrifies
me. The four
me.
Horsemen are back at that rate.
Well, you, no question about that. So that was an interesting one. But honestly,
he cost a lot, though.
I think he would.
But that's a guy with term, though, and that might be worth it.
And why would they want to get rid of him? He's got term.
Not working out with Alain Vigneault in Philly. Yeah, I mean, you know, there were rumors of him just leaving.
Damn coaches,
yeah,
just,
you know,
they
screw
guys up really bad. They take away their confidence and they can't play anymore. And they're good players and they've done it before and they can't do it anymore.
Well, I mean, Brent, like, have you ever had those issues with players who seem to just not want to be there?
Yeah, it's not that they don't want to be there. The coach just doesn't. He just doesn't give them the confidence. Coaches all have their favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and sure enough. Peter would not go to. He would not go to Tourist, or he would not go to Granlund. He would go with Joey and the guys that done it for him in the past. And I can't blame him for that. But it just didn't work out this year. The guys didn't play as well.
Yep.
And they didn't do the job for him, and he got fired for it because of their play. It was because of their play. He put the confidence in them, and he didn't get the results out of it, and that's why he got fired. So it's a tough situation, and I think. Gostisbehere, I mean, that'd be unbelievable if we ever got him. But I think any of those three guys would make us a better team. The other three guys you talked about were Martinez and Dillon and who was
Sammy Vatanen.
Yeah, Vatanen. They would make us better as a team, defensively, offensively, everything about. We need one guy, one defenseman to really, I think, put us over the top because we got lots of forwards, and I think we'll be close enough that we'll be there. And on the 24th of February, I think we'll be there and we'll be able to. Do one trade and get one guy and get him for not too much and just solidify
Shore
your
up
whole
that
team.
D-line.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know what? And the interesting piece is this, and I'm gonna kind of take your hot take and go one step above that. I think the three players you named would be a better move for this team than going after a guy. I don't think they would cost as much. And B, and I'm talking more from prospects prospects and players.
Mm-hmm.
And second off, I don't know if this team needs a fourth stud defenseman more than this team needs a solid third pair
with Fabro.
With Fabro.
Yeah, because he needs to be down on the third set because he's playing good right now, but. It's pretty tough on him.
And that's the thing. Fabro, I think, has been excellent
he's been
the past
excellent.
Few games.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He's been with Josi, though.
Yeah. That's you know, I could probably look at least somewhat decent with him. But I think, could you possibly get away with one of them for, you know, a fourth, a fifth, and an Alex Carrier or someone along those lines?
Ooh. Yeah. I mean,
that's tantalizing for a rebuilding team because I think that players like Carrier are going to continue to get buried by the defensive depth of this team just by nature of being a right-handed shot. You know, your Frederick Allards, your Alex Carriers, those are the ones we were expecting to take the next step, but Nashville is just too, you know, deep at the moment for players like them.
You look at it, and I look at, you know, how a player like Jared Tenorti has really kind of stepped it up in the last
couple
of games, really has. And so when you look at that, you start seeing the list of defensemen in Milwaukee, and you also wonder, are they looking at the big club going, okay, well, he's signed for 6 years, and he's signed for 7 years, and he's signed for 5 years, and you know, and this guy's on his entry level, but he's certainly going to get extended from there. Where do I fit in?
Right.
I mean, and that's part of the, you know, it's nice being known as the defense factory, but this is also part of the problem of being the defense factory because you end up having to make moves that was. Very good for this team. The Seth Jones for Ryan Johansson move only happens because of defensive depth. None of the players that we've talked about in Milwaukee could be compared to a Seth Jones or would draw that kind of return.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, you look at the performance in Milwaukee, and we're going to talk about Milwaukee a lot next week. We're going to try and go down on the farm and see if we can get Carl Taylor back on the show next week. But it's interesting because. I'm getting tantalized by a couple of folks in Milwaukee that, you know, may not necessarily even from a Black Ace perspective, you know, be able to come up and contribute, especially once, you know, the maturity levels are growing. with this. So it could be really interesting. But so, Zach, for those three players, who do you think, you know, what will one of those three players cost? And if you want to do, if you want, I can save this. No, we're good. We'll be all right. Good.
Mm-hmm. I think out of those three, the player who costs the least is Brendan Dillon. And the player who costs the most is probably Alec Martinez, just because of sheer pedigree alone and the fact that, you know, San Jose, I don't think, is in rebuild mode. I think they're trying to reload rather than anything, especially with all of their contracts.
Right.
When you have a team like L.A., they're going to want higher draft picks, and they're dealing from a position of strength. They're just like, okay, you don't want them. He's a defenseman. They fetch a higher price at that rate.
He'd probably fetch a third-rounder or second-rounder and a prospect.
He's probably also listed as number two on TSN's trade bait board. And, I mean, you know, that...
Yeah, that leaves you out of it.
It leaves your head scratching, you know?
Absolutely.
You pay too much when he's number two.
Now, yeah. I think the interesting one in kind of the marriage of both sides that I'm interested in, Sammy Vatanen. I think there's history between the Preds and the Devils. They certainly are no strangers to each other for multiple reasons, just in look in the past calendar year.
Right.
You look at everything there. I think Vatanen has a lot of upside. He's had a tough go of things in New Jersey, but who hasn't this year? I think he's got kind of that offensive upside that Nashville is so well known for. I mean, that's a guy who's got 5 goals and 23 assists on the season, $5 million, but he's a UFA at the end of the year.
Well, we've got plenty more to talk about. We're taking you right up to pregame at 8 o'clock. Preds and Canucks puck drop at about 9:08 p.m. Live coverage right here with the voice of the Predators, Pete Weber, and Skillsy himself, the bag chucker extraordinaire, Hal Gill. So make sure you keep it locked right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll be right back to wrap up Slapshot Radio in just a minute. Max finishing strong. Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Paul McCann, Brent Peterson, Zach McCann coming at you for about the next 7 minutes or so. When we turn the Palatial Wholesale Incorporated, powered by RumbleOn.com, studios to the one and only Darren McFarland. Pre-game getting going in about 10 minutes, and the puck will drop in a little bit more than an hour right here. So all your hockey coverage right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So, boys, let's talk about this Vancouver game a little bit. You know, you've got a team right here in Vancouver that is honestly outperforming expectations.
They're leading the Pacific at the moment. I mean, you know, I certainly didn't call that for them.
No, nobody called that for them. And that's where you look at it and say, okay, they're leading the Pacific, but let's face it, the Pacific is rather tight right now. They're 1 point ahead of Edmonton, 1 point ahead against of Vegas, and 3 points ahead of Calgary. So let's face it, I mean, first can turn into out of the playoffs in very, very short order. So, but this team, I mean, Elias Pettersson, it is the team. It's Pettersson and Horvath, and, you know, hope for the best out of the rest of the group.
The Preds have caught a break with Brock Besser being out for this game and one more due to injury. I think that that's certainly a break for them. But it also is scary because Vancouver's coming in on a 4-game losing streak. And how many times have we seen this Predators team be the team to get well against this year? You want to show me that you've turned the corner? Get 2 points tonight.
Well, you know what? We could have been the team that Winnipeg got well against. So, I mean, there are some things that kind of, because Winnipeg was on a losing streak, and honestly, they waited till the next game to get well. Thank heavens. But, you know, with Boeser out, you know, you've got Horvat, JT Miller, and Pettersson. Those are the ones that you got to stop for this team.
JT Miller's had a great year this year. He's done a lot of scoring and a lot of secondary scoring. I think he's their second or third liner, but he's moved up because guys have been hurt. But Horvat and Pettersson have been great. This Pettersson guy, he's skinny little guy, he's tall, skinny guy,
yeah.
And he can shoot the puck like you wouldn't believe, right from the slot.
In the hardest shot competition back in the All-Star
competition?
It's
unbelievable how he's shot, and he's beaten goalies this year when we're ready for him. So I think tonight's a great chance to get 2 points that we need badly. And there's no excuses now. We have to win. If we're going to beat these teams that are playoff teams now this week, all these St. Louis and the Islanders and the Vancouver, we got to win these games. We got to win all of them. And I know you can't win all of them, but you got to win tonight when you got a chance to win.
4 out of 6.
That's right. Every
time. That's what you got to do. 4 out of 6. So Coach, I want to ask you, because this is a team that obviously is playing better on the road. And you've been in these positions where sometimes teams will be squeezing the stick a little bit too hard at home. What kind of things can you do to try and turn that mindset?
You know, we used to say, you know, like confidence. You don't have confidence in the drawer here, and open the drawer and pull it out and give it to one of the players.
You don't?
He says to you, we don't have confidence in me, coach. Well, you don't just pull that out of the drawer. You have to play, and you have to be ready for prepare yourself the best you can, and then you have to work extra hard, go shorter shifts, and work extra hard when you're on the ice. Some guys are just floating around, and you know, not and. And if they know the system and they're prepared, they will go in the right places without thinking. Like you said, you can't think and then say, I should have been there. You just got to react, and you got to work extra hard to get out of a slump, and that's a whole team slump. Yep. We're having a tough time scoring goals. We got to make sure we bury them right and get in front of the net and bury them.
And the interesting thing, you said something there, but this is a team that is definitely not thinking as much as they have been. This Western Conference trip, you've seen the system kind of start becoming a little more inherent and a lot less thought going on.
Yeah, you're certainly seeing it take root a little bit more in this team, and I think that's why this team is better on the road right now. When you're on the road, it's just focusing on hockey, right, and you're practicing every day, and you're just focusing on learning this. When you get home, you know,
honeydew things to do,
creature comforts, all that sort of thing.
That's right. And thinking, and because of the past, I think we got caught up early that we were thinking we were going to just beat anybody with just putting our sticks on the ice at home, and we'd have to work on the road. We worked on the road, and we just put our sticks. Some nights we just put our sticks on the ice, and we didn't do anything. We didn't skate. We didn't do anything. Vegas was one. Boston was another. Toronto was another. We just didn't skate. You have to skate and work hard and be part of a team game, and then you're going to have a lot more success.
And the good news is I think we've seen a lot more of that over the last, especially on this Western Canada trip. They bring that home. I'm nowhere near as worried about this team as I was because I just see that more natural play start to happen out of this team. Zach, what do you expect out of tonight?
You know what? This is another one of those. You got to take some revenge for earlier in the year. This team embarrassed you last time you played them with a 6-3 loss back in November. I think you're on that vengeance tour right now, with the exception of Edmonton, which frankly should have been a win. I think the Preds come out hard tonight. They continue the play. I think they play angry from what happened on Saturday, and they should, and they take two.
Coach, what do you think?
I think they'll take two, and they need to stop the power play. The power play's been hot against in both games, and they have to stop the power play. Don't take bad penalties, and make sure you kill the penalties off, and you'll be fine.
Pettersson has just been on fire when it comes to the power play, so you're absolutely right on that. Well, there we go. We've just killed another hour here on Slapshot Radio. We appreciate everybody joining us. Coming up next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, it's Predators pregame with Darren McFarland. Make sure you keep it locked right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thanks for joining us on Slapshot Radio. We're back next Monday night at 7 p.m. We'd like to give a big thank you to our guest, Sean Leahy from NBC Sports. And, of course, thank all of our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, our good friend Carter Church from Weikart Realtors, the Andrews Group, your real estate agent in Murfreesboro and Nolensville, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits on Moores Lane in Cool Springs, and Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries with three locally owned Middle Tennessee locations in Hendersonville, Cool Springs, and Murfreesboro. When you visit one of our sponsors, make sure you tell them you heard about it on Slapshot Radio and thank them for their support. For our producer, Max, our co-hosts, Brett Peterson and Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying good night and good hockey.